Okay, today on Voices with Vision, we're going to talk about two hot items in D.C., who's at the helm of educating our kids and the local elections. And also, we're going to do something we don't usually do. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to open up the phone lines to you, the listeners, to let you comment on and talk about, discuss with us what we're going to air for you. D.C. Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee is regularly touted as a hero by the Washington Post for aggressively pushing so-called school reform. Friday evening, Chancellor Rhee hosted an upscale private celebration in the East Hall of Union Station for hundreds of D.C. public school teachers. And to much applause, Rhee announced that all of the teachers invited to the event would be receiving bonuses of between $3,000 and $25,000, an overall increase in pay of 11%. Chris Bergfalk is a graduate of DCPS. D.C. Public Schools, a parent of three children who attend D.C. Public Schools, as well as a teacher who was a finalist for the 2009 D.C. Public School Teacher of the Year. As Rhee was leaving the celebration through a roped-off back door, D.C.'s chancellor was confronted by Chris Bergfalk, one of the highly effective teachers, quote-unquote, being honored that evening, and Bergfalk was asked the bonus checks that you mentioned today, quote, the bonus checks that you mentioned today, are they bonus checks or are they part of a pay-for-performance incentive program? Pay-for-performance incentive program where if we accept that then we're enrolled in a program and then under the contract we're not eligible to certain benefits if we are accessed, end quote. As she was leaving Union Station, Rhee answered a few more questions from Peter Tucker and Chris, beginning with her possible violation of the Hatch Act. Peter Tucker ran the tape, and we're going to play it to you here on Voices with Vision, unedited, and then have you get a feel for Chancellor Rhee and Pete Tucker's and Chris's exchange with her, and then we're going to open the phone lines up for you. So take a listen.
Chancellor Rhee, can you talk about tonight's event, the impact evaluation? It was a celebration for the teachers.
Yeah, so tonight was the first celebration of many for our most highly effective teachers in the system. We're extraordinarily excited. I think over the last 3 years, it's been, you know, a lot of tough reforms, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of the focus has been on the negative things. But today, we wanted to make sure that the people who really are doing the hardest work in this system and who are seeing results for our kids every single day are finally recognized and rewarded the way that they should be. So today they received an 11% pay increase in their checks, which was our pre-negotiated raise with the WTU. They'll get an additional 4% on top of that on October 1st. They will, between Saturday and Monday, be receiving their retroactive checks. And then for these teachers here, they are eligible for our Impact Plus Performance Pay Program. And so they'll be receiving checks from anywhere between $3,000 and $25,000, depending on the subject area, grade level, and school that they teach at.
A lot of teachers under your 3.5 years as chancellor have been fired and riffed. What do you have to say about this huge number of teachers that have departed DCPS?
Well, what I will say is that there were a whole lot more teachers in there that were celebrating because they're highly effective than that have left the system because they were ineffective. And so I think that people oftentimes lose sight of that. I know that in terms of, you know, people thinking that exciting news is going on, terminations is one of those things that causes a lot of controversy. But I want the media and other people to focus on the fact that we have hundreds and hundreds of really great teachers in this system who are doing amazing things for kids every year, and we're going to do our part to make sure that those people are recognized.
Chancellor Michelle Rhee, we're joined by one of those highly effective teachers, Chris Bergfalk, and he's one of the awardees tonight. Chris Bergfalk, what are your thoughts tonight?
I just have a couple of quick questions. The bonus checks that you mentioned today, are they bonus checks, or are they part of a pay-for-performance incentive program where if we accept that, then we're enrolled in a program, and then under the contract, we're not eligible for certain benefits if we are accessed?
So that's correct. But that will be every individual teacher's choice as to whether or not they want to accept that or not accept that. That's one piece of it is the bonus. But there, and in addition to the bonus, there will also be accelerated pay increases as well.
Then the other question I have is, you did mention the secondary scores. What about the students who are in K through 8 schools? Are they part of those secondary score increases that you're talking about?
For
the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who are in K through 8 models? Are they part of the secondary AYP percentages that you're talking about?
I'm not talking about AYP percentages here. What I was talking about was increases.
Increases
in proficiency.
When I read the increases in proficiency, the numbers that you were talking about were the secondary AYP numbers that are published as part of AYP, which does not include...
That's not correct. The secondary increase numbers that I'm talking about are not... they have nothing to do with AYP. We were just looking at the kids who are in secondary school.
Where can I find that information?
We can get that to you. You know Erin, and she's happy to get you that information.
Chancellor Reed, Cortland Malloy had a piece in the...
Horace Mann Elementary.
No, thank you. There's a bunch of us, but...
Can I just finish this interview? Chancellor Reed, Cortland Malloy in the Washington Post, he wrote that he has some concerns about the Hatch Act and that you might be violating the spirit of the Hatch Act. You were campaigning a week ago. You haven't campaigned much in the last
week. Absolutely incorrect. If you read the Hatch Act, what it says in the first paragraph of the Hatch Act, it says that Congress encourages all public officials to be engaged, civically engaged. It gives a list of all of the allowable activities. It says you can attend rallies. It says you can, you know, say what candidate that you prefer and that sort of thing. It's very, very clear, and I'm sorry that Mr. Malloy did not read the Hatch Act when he was writing about it.
All right, will you? If Vincent Gray is elected mayor, will you serve? Do you mind if I do an interview with people?
No, because you know what? We're teachers. We're waiting every day.
Hang on a second.
Thank you.
You can wait 2 minutes
for a picture with teachers. Thank you.
Wait a second. I'm actually here for them tonight, so.
Well, this is also the.
Oh, look at that. That's beautiful.
Oh, so excited.
He showed my daughter the ring before he gave it to me, and my daughter said it was so bad and made him
turn. Oh! No, but seriously, so excited. No, my husband is a Cornell. Oh, and no, right, seriously.
All right.
No,
keep up the good work.
Thank you for coming. No, I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
To the September. There you go.
Chancellor Michelle Rhee, a couple more questions for WPFW listeners. You stepped out in the campaign, and so I think it's appropriate to answer a couple questions.
Good to see you. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good day, huh?
Yeah. I know.
Chancellor Rhee, your comments in October around the 266 teachers who were fired because of alleged budgetary reasons, but then months later you found a lot of money for this teacher's contract. Do you apologize for those comments?
For what comments?
You said you fired teachers who had sex with children, who hit children, and there wasn't evidence to back up that statement.
If you look in the paper today, you can clearly show that teacher that I was referring to, it was actually confirmed in a paternity test that he fathered the child of a teacher, of a student. So for anybody who wants to say that I did not have evidence, that's all the evidence you need. Okay,
but you were speaking about one person. When you made those comments, I was speaking about all 266 teachers.
No, I was not speaking of all 266 teachers. That's the most
ridiculous. You said you fired them because they had sex with children, hit children.
I said amongst the people.
That's not what's in Fast Company.
You know what? Call Jeff Chu, who wrote the Fast Company article, and he'll tell you.
Are you saying that he was wrong about what he wrote?
I'm telling you that you should call him and ask him what he wrote.
I'm just telling you what was in the... So you're saying that was not your comment?
I'm not having this conversation anymore. It was very clear. Jeff Chu made it clear to everybody exactly what I said and what I didn't say. And you're taking things totally out of context.
What do you say to those who say that some of the test scores, the bumps in test scores, are a result of changing demographics in the city and not the fact...
That is an insult to every single low-income child of color in this city who is improving their academic achievement levels. It's an insult to them.
So it has nothing to do with changing demographics?
No.
Thank you, Chancellor Reed. Chris Bergbach, you're just a part of an interesting exchange with Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee after this award ceremony for what was called a bonus. Your point is that this may, in fact, not be a bonus, but talk about this evening, this award, and your exchange with Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the crux is she told all of us are here, we're excited.
There's a lot of you.
Her website said 650 teachers. We showed up there. She released today that there is money for highly effective educators. So in front of a room full of educators.
At Union Station, a very fancy affair. I was hard to get in. It was they said it was a closed affair.
She told all of us, she said, and every teacher here is L. And then she stopped. And she said, every teacher here will receive a bonus check. Every teacher here will receive a bonus check. And afterwards, Pete, you and I caught her, and she changed what she said.
Explain.
Well, a bonus check is no strings attached. If you get a bonus, you get that bonus. You put it in your pocket, and you're done. Instead, it is not a bonus check. Instead, if you accept that money, as we caught Michelle Rhee, and she stated to us, she said, yes, every student, every teacher here is eligible for an incentive award as part of the Pay for Performance Incentive Program, not a bonus. And she said, if you accept that, then you give up certain rights under the contract. For instance, every teacher here, and teachers don't know this because she didn't publicize it, but every teacher here who accepts that bonus check, which she told us was a bonus, every teacher then waives their contractual rights if they are accessed next year to having a year to look for a job, or receiving a $25,000 severance package, or if you have 20 years or more experience, retiring with full benefits, getting early retirement with full benefits equivalent to 30 years of service.
So this, in fact, is not a bonus, that folks are giving up rights that they don't know they're giving up. Teachers right now do not know that in order to receive this money, they have to give up certain things.
It's an outrageous way to treat teachers. She holds an event like this with all the glamour, with press, with hors d'oeuvres, with cash.
Well, interestingly, no press. They said that NBC had an exclusive, and then it took a lot of wrangling to get in. Very interesting to note that, in fact, as far as I can tell, there was no press allowed.
That's right, and it's all under the guise of celebrating teachers, but it really is a trick. Teachers do not understand that when they take that check, they are giving up their rights. And that, to me, that is disgusting. If you're going to celebrate teachers who are highly effective, then do it honestly and say, we will give you money, but if you give this money, if you accept this money, you have to give up certain rights. And that really goes to the basis of Rhee's entire administration, her treatment of teachers, and what she's done to education. Is to hold teachers up for doing a great job and at the same time reach in behind their backs and take something away from them.
You know, as we stand here in Union Station, the East Hall is a fancy event with waiters and tuxedos and so on and so forth. As we were talking, Chris, we were interrupted by a couple teachers and
we're listening to Peter Tucker talking to Chris Bergfalk, a graduate of DCPS, a parent of three children who attend DCPS, as well as teachers who were a finalist for a 2009 DCPS Teacher of the Year about DC education, Chancellor Michelle Rhee, Fenty appointee. And we're going to continue listening, and then we're going to open up the phone lines. This is Voices with Vision on WPFW 89.3 FM.
We're so excited. As you're saying, it was a celebratory occasion. They're comparing rings with Michelle Rhee, who may be getting married to Kevin Johnson. But as you're saying, the downside of this was simply not discussed tonight.
No, it wasn't. And in fact,
it hasn't been discussed anywhere else.
Absolutely not. And in fact, it was purposely, it was the opposite. She pulled the wool over her eyes. She purposely said, she was about to say, every teacher here is eligible. And she stopped herself from saying eligible. Because eligible means strings attached. It means you have to do something. And she stopped herself and said, every teacher will receive a bonus check. And that is absolutely not true. I will not receive a bonus check. Because I do not trust Michelle Rhee, and I will not give up those rights under that contract. And I think many teachers that I talked to at the reception, once they understood what the ramifications of the decision to accept that money, they were not going to take that money either. And that would be an interesting story to find out which of these highly effective teachers, or how many of these highly effective teachers, take that money and give up their rights, and how many don't take that money to preserve their rights because they are fearful of Michelle Rhee, they are fearful of her administration, and they are fearful of her mistreatment and frankly, the arbitrary and punitive way she runs accessing and RIFs. And I know, Pete, you're going to talk to Eric Martel, who unquestionably was a subject of retaliation. These teachers tonight that I talked to understood that. They know that if they take that money, then they are subject, and again, they're subject through no part of their teaching. Nothing to do with how they are as a teacher, because we know they're highly effective educators, but they understand that they're subject.
You have a sign that says, Christopher Bergfock, highly effective educator. That's the sign that, you know, everyone had their name, and so this is a night of highly effective educators.
It is. And when we talked to Michelle Rhee, you introduced me. And as a highly effective educator, she didn't have much to say to me other than talk to somebody else in her administration.
And also talking tonight was George Parker, who is now president of the Washington Teachers Union, who has postponed an election. You are a candidate for president, along with your brother, for vice president of the Washington Teachers Union. It was interesting. He was also in a celebratory mood. What do you have to say about his talking and his performance as president of the Washington Teachers Union?
Well, I think the first thing to note is there wasn't a lot of listening going on when he was talking. There was lots of side conversations. There wasn't any applause for him, really. And I think the teachers, all teachers, certainly the teachers who have been riffed, which is part of the election, what's happening now at the election is he wants to hold the election in November to take the vote away from all teachers who were employed as of June, the teachers who were riffed, and by waiting until November, he's also denying the right to vote for the teachers who were excessed and then later terminated under this new contract. And now, as you can see tonight, the teachers who are still in the system and the very best teachers were very lukewarm at best, but I think really cold, gave him a very cold reception when he was talking.
As Michelle Rhee was George Parker's coming out now, and as Michelle Rhee was leaving, I was walking with her and doing my best to ask some questions, and one of them I asked was, after those RIF teachers, the 266 teachers in October, were fired, allegedly for budgetary reasons, saying there was millions of dollars in deficits, but then months later, millions of dollars were found for this controversial teacher's contract. She came out to Fast Company and made some comments about teachers, saying, you know, I fired these teachers because they had sex with children, you know, they beat the children, all this. I asked her about those comments. She said she was right in what she said tonight, because if you read the Post this morning, there was an article about the paternity test for one of those teachers. I said, but you were talking about all the teachers. She said, no, I wasn't. I was talking about that one teacher. Do you have a response to her comments to Fast Company?
Absolutely. I mean, it's disgusting. And Michelle Rhee has no credibility at all. At first, she made those comments. She said, across the board, all these teachers lumped them in one category, had sex with children, beat children, didn't show up to work, were lazy, etc. And then later on, after those comments of Fast Company magazine came out, she reversed herself. She never apologized, but then she said, well, no, some of those teachers we lost were good teachers, but it was a riff. But some of those teachers were good teachers. And then tonight, Pete, she reversed herself once again, because when you asked her that comment, she said, we got rid of ineffective teachers. And we're not, you know, tonight we're going to celebrate highly effective teachers, not talk about the ineffective teachers that we got rid of. So once again, she's She's changed her attacks, tactics. She's changed her comments. She's reversed herself, showing that she has no credibility in talking about really anything to do with DCPS.
Lastly, Chris Birkbach, your message to your fellow teachers of DCPS, what do they need to know about this contract? What's your message to them? Because there just hasn't been a discussion about the downside of impact. The Washington Post, who interestingly Warren Buffett is on the board of, and she mentioned Warren Buffett is going to be at a party for this in November, has been so much in favor of this that has really kind of blindsided people that there could be any downside to this impact evaluation and to this contract that's been signed.
Well, I think teachers are afraid, and they really don't trust what Michelle Rees says. And I think that was very evident. She didn't get a lot of applause. She had some scattering of applause in the audience, but not a lot of applause. In terms of George Parker and Rees, the real problem is that the union has effectively been gutted. It really is no longer any kind. It does not have an advocacy arm for teachers. The contract caught lots of teachers who were excessed by surprise, who are now being terminated. And George Parker said, well, I thought that we were going to talk to DCPS and we weren't going to terminate teachers who were excessed this first year of the contract. And then Rees turned around and said, absolutely not. The contract started, if they don't find a job within 60 days, they're terminated. What we really need is we need leadership at the union who's going to effectively advocate for not just teachers, but for students in all parts of the city that have been neglected by this reform. And we need somebody who understands the contract, who understands what's happening with the manipulation of data, with the manipulation of policies, with backhanded awards like the ones we received today that require us to give up rights under our contract to take. And the union can't do that. And I'm hoping with new leadership that the union can help teachers reclaim their voices, be a part of advocating for education, be a part of reform, the rightful part that they have, and really drive and move reform forward in the right ways.
Adrian Fenty came and spoke, the mayor, but he was kind of the warm-up for the school chancellor, and he didn't speak very much. And, you know, this reform began, he didn't run on this 4 years ago, on this school reform. The day after he came in, he did away, the first day of his mayoralty, he did away with the school board. It doesn't seem like he knows the issues through and through. Any comment, and yet he's making this the hallmark of why he should be, the central reason why he should be reelected. He failed to be able to show up to debate Chairman Vincent Gray for an hour and a half debate. And yet this is what the reason why people should put him into office on Tuesday. Any comment about his maybe lack of understanding about these issues?
Yeah, he doesn't speak to the issues. You're absolutely right, Pete. And I think that this reason to put him into office is evidenced by your discussion with Chancellery about the Hatch Act. She's campaigning in Chevy Chase. She's campaigning in Ward 3. She's campaigning in schools that never needed reform but got reform benefits, that received the lion's share of capital spending, that received more dollars per pupil than higher need schools. The thing that's the saddest and the worst part of this whole affair is that D.C. parents, teachers, D.C. Council was clamoring for school reform for decades, for a long time before Michelle Rees came. Before Fenty came into office, Anthony Williams proposed mayor control of the school board and mayor control of the school system. Fenty on the council voted against it. Legislation passed, Fenty took office, and everybody was excited, including teachers, were excited about reform, were excited about having their voices and their feedback and what they were calling for finally instituted. And the first thing that Rees did was clean office at the central office. I mean, she fired a lot of people, and teachers were hopeful about that. Here's the part that's disgusting, is that this was a golden opportunity to change education in Washington, D.C. With the right person, it would have happened. D.C. Ponied up over $1 billion for capital improvements to improve an aging school system. We took control away from the school board. It was a golden opportunity for the right person to come in. And the right person, I think, could have made drastic differences in school reform, like Jerry Wiest. Instead, Fenty chose...
In Montgomery County.
In Montgomery County. Instead, Fenty chose somebody with absolutely no experience and somebody whose primary focus is not reform, but on building a national personality and on sound bites and on being what they call like a hard-driving person, whatever that means. And it's really sad because, you know, 4 years later, $1 billion later, we still have the same achievement gaps. We still have schools, you know, who don't have teachers. We still have schools that don't have their textbooks, and we still have schools that don't have playgrounds, that don't have facilities. That's the awful part. And there's no way to reclaim these last 4 years. There's no way to reclaim the lives of these children who have been left behind by Michelle Rhee. And there's no way to reclaim that $1 billion that got funneled disproportionately into the wealthiest schools in the city. There's no way to get that money back. And you know the story of Bruce Monroe. You know the story of Turner Elementary. Schools that were promised, high-need schools that were promised to be rebuilt, that were promised funds to close the achievement gap, to give those, the neediest kids in our city, an education. We don't have money for them, and the money is gone. That's the sad part.
Your final thoughts, Chris Bergfalk. You've had on this night where you've been labeled, you've gotten the award of a highly effective educator, and yet, as you're saying, you might not accept the step up in pay that the impact evaluation would give you because of the strings attached. Any comments on that and any final thoughts you have?
I do have just a couple of comments. I was talking to a teacher at Duke Ellington, who my family has known for years. My sisters grew up with her daughters. Fantastic teacher, highly effective today. And her comment really sticks with me. She said, you know, we finally got our raises, and I don't really know if I really need this extra money. And I think again, it's an example of a diversion of money out of the classroom. And I'm the last person to say that teachers don't deserve more money. They absolutely do deserve more money. But the problem with programs like this is that they're divisive. They tear apart teachers. They tear apart collaboration. To be highly effective in here, if you're teaching a testing grade, what that means is that your students have to do better than the classroom right next to you. It means you have to outperform the person next to you. The only way to be highly effective is if you are better than everybody else. So for me to be highly, if I was teaching testing grade, for me to be highly effective, it would mean that some of my friends are not going to be highly effective, that some of my friends are going to be fired. Because it's the basis of that system is the best of, is one loses, one wins, one loses.
It's a corporate model.
It's a corporate model. So if we're all good teachers, but my kids do better this year and your kids don't do as well this year for a variety of reasons, you're fired and I get money. That does not make any sense. Teachers cannot be competitors. Students cannot be competitors. That makes absolutely no sense. It's not what we teach in the classroom. It's not part of our school community or school culture. And it does not belong in education.
Thanks, Chris Bergfalk.
Thank you, Pete.
We were just listening to an interview with Peter Tucker did with Chris Bergfalk, who was one of the awardees at last Friday evening's celebration of teachers at the union, at the East Hall of Union Station that's held by Chancellor Rhee. We're gonna be back and open the phone lines and get your comments about it. But first, some messages.
Now, a good friend of mine sat with me and he cried. He told me a story, I know he hadn't lied. He said he went for a job, and this man said, without an education, you might as well be dead. Now, don't get me wrong, he said it's not who you are. Most people come to me from a near and far. But I do just the work, and I follow the rules. Didn't have an education, so I had to go back to school. Tell me one more time, people, now. What he said, hey. Without an education, you might as well. One more time. What he said, hey. Without an education.
The candidate's statement is property of the author only. My name is Luzette King, and I am seeking an opportunity to serve again on the Pacifica Local Station Board of WPFW as a listener representative. With the support and encouragement of listeners, I was able to serve for the first 6 years of the local board's existence and as a member of the Pacifica National Board. This provided me the opportunity to develop a profound understanding of the culture of Pacifica at a local and national level, and more importantly, the challenges with which this organization is faced. I was instrumental and worked very hard to bring about, at a local level, fiscal transparency and strengthening of the Community Advisory Board. A vote for me, therefore, would ensure that I continue my quest to ensure a stronger Pacifica institutionally and fiscally.
You're listening to Voices with Vision, a progressive mix of voices, news, music, and spoken word, brought to you by the DC Radio Co-op and played on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C., every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Bring out the rebel, bring out the rebel, bring out the rebel,
help me. I'm Reem Katkoda.
Okay, this is Netfa Freeman, and you're listening to Voices with Vision. We were, before the break, we were listening to an interview that Peter Tucker did with Chris Birdfalk, and who is a graduate of D.C. Public Schools, a parent with three children in D.C. Public Schools, and he was also a finalist for the 2009 D.C. Public School Teacher of the Year. And they were actually at last Friday evening's celebration of those teachers at the East Hall of Union Station. And right now we're going to open up the phone line so you can comment and discuss this issue. Michelle Ree is the appointee chancellor for education, appointed by Adrian Fenty, who's running again for mayor. And so we thought this was a very opportune time to have something related to the elections, related to actual policies that are being implemented in the interest of, supposedly in the interest of someone, our children, dealing with our education. And so you can call us in 202-588-0893. Again, the number is 202-588-0893, and participate in the conversation. Right now I have on the line Peter Tucker, who did that interview, and we're going to, you know, talk to you about this. Pete, how you doing?
Hey, Netfa, it's good to be with you, and Reem, it's good to be on Voices with Vision.
Yeah, so Reem's not with us today, but she definitely was instrumental in producing this show today. But let me ask you, the first question that someone asked was about some of the benefits that the teachers would be forfeiting if they participated in this participate in this program that Michelle Ree and accepted this bonus, or the checks. What are some of the things that they'd be forfeiting or giving up? What kind of rights?
That's an excellent question. And Chris Birdfalk, who the interview was with following the interview with Chancellor Ree, he's a candidate for president of the Washington Teachers Union, and he has all the details. The thing that I can tell you, Netfa, is that This fancy upscale celebration at Union Station in the East Hall Friday evening, hundreds of teachers were gathered, and Chancellor Ree was the keynote speaker. And she said, you know, everyone here will get bonuses, and everyone between $3,000 and $25,000, between $3,000 and $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, teachers deserve. I mean, these are hardworking people; they deserve these raises. But these aren't, as Chris pointed out, in fact, bonuses. And your question specifically, what is given up? I think I heard Chris Birdfalk mention that you may even give up your pension benefit if you're fired in the next year. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to go from a highly effective educator, quote unquote, to being terminated. But if you were in that year, there would be significant benefits that you would be giving up. Now, that's important, and that really has not been discussed. So this is not a bonus. Because a bonus is just you don't give up anything with a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
This is something else. And the other thing that I want to point out, if you heard in the interview with Chancellor Ree, she said that the checks would come by Monday. Now, what's so significant about Monday? Remember, this is the same chancellor who the Washington Post, Colton Malloy, in a column in the Washington Post, pointed out that if she's not violating the Hatch Act, she's violating the spirit of the Hatch Act, the federal act, which applies to districts, government officials, which prevents officials from using their position, their title, to campaign for folks for elected office. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting to note that, you know, she said this money that is being, this is the retroactive pay that was being delivered by Monday, by the day before the election. I haven't really seen anything written or discussed about that, but I think the timing is at least worth noting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can you, we have one caller on the line. We have Nick who wants to join us. How you doing, Nick? You have a question or comment?
Yes, comment. Michelle Ray is still adding insult to injury on DC teachers, and with reckless abandon, firing the teachers and making a blanket false accusation against them of everything bad, including, quote unquote, hitting on the children is not enough for her. She's going to falsely bribe them now with thousands of dollars, quote unquote, bonuses. A few days before the mayoral primaries, don't you, like Peter just said now, I'm glad, when he said it, I said, that's right. Don't you, can you connect the two? Friday and primaries today, and she's making, announcing that false, and again, it's false bonuses. Michelle, she's got guts that badly needs to be seriously smashed. She's got to go. Well, let's see what happens today. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And it should be noted. Now, one, we want to tell people that we've opened up the phone line, something we don't always do here on Voices with Vision, for you to comment and participate in this conversation. Whatever you have to share, question or comment is welcome. 202-588-0893. And I think it should be interesting to point out there is a question of whether or not these two, I don't know what you want to, and people like to say major candidates for mayor, Fenty and was his, oh my gosh.
Front runners. Vincent Gray.
Gray, I'm sorry, I don't know why I was throwing a blank. There's a question of whether or not Ree would continue under Gray as well. And so these two, you know, front runner candidates, whether or not we'd be getting, you know, whether or not the citizens of the district would be getting anything quite different is a question. And I think people should, you know, ask themselves that and dig deep for the answers. So we have someone else. Did you have any comment that you wanted to make after Nick's comment, Pete?
I just want to point out that today is Election Day. And I've actually been traveling throughout the city with election observers, Bill O'Field and Kenley Ray, and visiting the polling places across the city, and there have been problems with the voting machines, the touchscreen voting machines at every of the polling places except for one that we visited. I think we've hit six or seven now, and we'll be hitting a bunch more. So it's worth noting ESNS is the election system and software, is the newly hired both the software provider as well as the provider of the voting machines. And
ESNS that was implied in the scandal when Bush was running.
ESNS has a shady history, and most recently, Alvin Green in, I think it's South Carolina, the Democratic primary, didn't run a campaign. I don't think he had any literature, and he quote-unquote, won the Democratic primary, and the difference between the folks who voted on ESNS machines, who put those votes went for Green, and those who voted otherwise, paper ballot, they went for, I forget the name of it, I think it meant Vic Rawls,
right.
The other candidate. So there was a huge discrepancy, which you don't, statistically, you don't see. ESNS has a spotty record, and they're proving today, once again, to be less than reliable, and paper ballot, I don't quite understand why a district would go, any jurisdiction would go away from paper ballot.
Yeah, let's go to the
wheelchair accessibility. You need to have one or something, and so I guess to be in compliance with that law. But beyond that, it seems paper is a better way to go.
Right. Let's get another caller. And I want to let people know, though, that Pete's interview and also some photographs are on thefightback.org, some photographs you've been taking around the city about what's going on as far as elections. And that interview we just heard in full is there. We have Kate on the line. Hi, Kate. How you doing?
Just two comments real quick. One, I was applying for a charter school a couple of years back, and I was looking at the scores under Janie, and at the elementary school level, they were increasing at some schools, elementary schools, as much as 76% in both reading and mathematics. So there was change being made, but unfortunately he was fired. Secondly, I'd like to interject race into this conversation because everyone seems to be skirting around that issue. I was out in the Midwest traveling around back in 2003, and while I was out there, and I was in seven different states, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, on and on, Colorado. And everywhere I went, there was an ad on the television Mayor Williams at the time, telling people to come to Washington for fine urban living. Then it would show a young white couple in a high rise entertaining guests. Okay, my point on making that is this. This is going on across the country with the Midwest being emptied of its citizenry, and they're going to either coast, you know, looking for this great urban living. And the last thing you do with great urban living is have black teachers teaching your kids. And so this is one of the issues that I think really, really needs to be discussed. This is one of the reasons, too, so many of these teachers have been let go, along with the fact that you know, teachers are being paid less being pushed to compete with one another, as you pointed out in your piece. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Nefer, for allowing me to make my comments.
No, thank
and I
you.
Hope that someone will discuss this as well. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Harold, how you doing? You have a question or comment? Harold, you there?
Yes.
How you doing? Question or comment?
Yes, sir. I enjoy listening to your show. My name
thank
is Harold Hunter, HaroldCHunterJr.com. I have a comment in reference to the D.C. public schools, one of which is in reference to the firing of the teachers and the closing of the schools. And my primary interest is the historical legacy of the schools. It's one thing of closing the school, and then there's another thing looking at what's known as the preservation of the schools. And I want to know, when are the taxpaying citizens going to recognize this fact and not look at the corporate dollar? Because the kids have been upgraded with nice schools, but when it comes to the valuability and the seasoned wisdom of the Council of Teachers, that has to be a mandate. And I think that there's going to be some type of insertion of a quote-unquote superintendent, i.e. chancellor making over $300,000, and we cannot vest it our own interest. That's my primary concern. So I also want to congratulate you because I think that when you open up your airlines, you give people a chance to really vent, you know. And I hate when everyone has to wait till election time, but we got to do what we got to do. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And we also want to commend Pete for doing such an in-depth and meticulous interview, unrelentless interview. We also have Thomas on the line. Thomas, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Thomas. What's up?
Not much, man.
What you have?
Look, I had just a few points. First of all, with regard to Michelle Ree and Adrian Fenty, I hope that today's vote proves to be a public firing of Mr. Fenty so that in the near term, Ms. Ree will likely lose her job as well. But in so far as we're seeking school reform, I definitely think that the residents of the city and all the wards, all the classes, all the races have wanted a vast improvement of the public schools. I think that's evidenced by the large number of children, particularly poor children, who've left the regular public schools and went to public charter schools. But while Michelle Ree and Adrian Fenty have fought hard to do a lot at the schools, they haven't fought hard to bring excellent education to poor children in this city. So they've torn down a lot of schools and turned them over to developers, or they've taken schools and given them to developers and turned them over to condos. But the actual academic achievement of the schools, notwithstanding the claims by the Fenty administration and the Washington Post, are not dramatic improvements. There have only been a very, very slight improvement. And when Fenty was elected to office, he and Michelle Ree said in 4 years, hold us to account. If there is not a vast improvement in the education of these children, then we don't deserve our job. And they use that to explain why the superintendent of schools was fired. Mm-hmm. So let me go on. Insofar as there are right now at Howard University and other universities, black scholars and other scholars who study urban education, urban public school education in cities like D.C. and have experimented with methods for improving the academic experience of the children. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that Michelle Rhee and the Fenty administration have not borrowed from that, but rather have borrowed a fashion of gentrification to more or less push many of the students and their families out of the city, and in that fashion have a demographic impact upon the testing. I really don't think that the academic experience of the students has improved at all. So I wanted to say that, and I agree with what I've heard from the callers thus far. And one other thing, insofar as the lady said that race must be addressed, keep in mind that just a few weeks ago, the Washington Post had a feature story on Ms. Rhee. Lee, the Washington Post, a city paper, and it said, what is it about Michelle Rhee in that she is recruiting and encouraging white families to bring their white children into the public schools? Nothing wrong with that, but that there seemed to be in that article proof that Michelle Rhee and the Fenty administration are deliberately trying to serve the white community as opposed to the broader community in the public schools. Mm-hmm. That could be trouble.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And that goes to what Pete was asking earlier about the gentrification. We have Angela. Hi, Angela. Angela, you still with us?
Yes.
Hi. You have a question or comment?
Comment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question, too, because what I would like to know is the teachers that were let go, why can't they come together, the principals and the teachers and the superintendents who were let go, form their own school and their own strategies of educating black children, and not only blacks, but all children, to compete against what Michelle Rhee is doing? Because I think Michelle Rhee has made a debacle in the city, and the black teachers should not give up. They should use this as a stepping stone to educate our children and not turn our children over to these corporations. I think it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Now, I would respond to that. You put it as a question, and I can't say I have the complete answer, but I do, or any answer, maybe. But I'll say this, that for the teachers to come together, the only way they'd come together and create their own school or their own system is then to also resort to the charter school system, which people believe is a prelude to privatization of schools, and just participating in that whole system, or creating a private school, which doesn't create accessible education for low-income children. So, I mean, I don't know how successful they could be in coming together and creating a school system that would challenge it. We do have our independent schools, African center schools, and things of that nature that are trying to do what we can. But the public school system is a big complex that it takes a lot to defeat. Pete, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would like to comment, especially on the first three callers. I thought they all hit on the head. In their own unique ways, very brilliantly pointed out what has not been pointed out in the pages of the Washington Post, which has not been talked about enough in the media, which is there's a real dark underbelly to Michelle Rhee and Adrian Fenty's so-called school reform. And I think that you know, as you travel throughout the city, you see that resources have ended up in certain parts of the city, that the wealthier schools, from Wilson High School to Murch Elementary, which I got the elementary playground that cost more than $1 million. So the wealthier schools have received a huge amount of infrastructure improvements and attention. But the schools themselves, the schools that needed it most, have not received that attention. And I think what you're also seeing is, and one of the callers mentioned this, I think it was Thomas, who said, you are seeing I can't remember which call it was. You're seeing, and it hasn't been reported, black flight from the schools. That whoever, because the resources are going to the wealthier schools, and yes, that's great that Michelle Reade's attracting white parents, but she's doing it with the resources that are coming at the expense of the kids
underprivileged.
Ward 5 does not have a single public middle school. They're all now these educational centers. They're K through 8. That's outrageous. You know,
there are
huge parts of the city which are being not being treated with equity, and the result is that whoever can leave is leaving. And they're saying that the population of the school is maintained, the public schools is flat, but it's not. They've done something with the data by including the pre-K, which is great. They should have pre-K, but they all of a sudden included those numbers, which masked the flight that has taken place from the schools. And I was like the second what you said about charter schools being privatization. You know, we really need public, you know, public, forget about public charter schools. Charter schools are private.
Public
funding of public education, and it needs to be equitable, and it needs to be significant. And while it's been significant, it has not been equitable under reinvention.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. That we've been listening to Pete Tucker, who's an independent media activist. Often his pieces are played on Spectrum Today with Askia Muhammad. You've been listening to Voices with Vision. My name is Netfa Freeman.